The following program is for entertainment purposes only. It is not medical, psychological, or psychiatric advice of any kind. For any of that, please contact your doctor. On today's episode of Dream Meetings, did a mother come to give a final goodbye in a dream, or was it just good timing? How could the anxiety of leaving school make someone dream that the world is coming apart around them? Did a visit to an antique store influence a woman to take on a message from the dead in a dream? Spooky. Also, what does visiting abandoned houses time and time again mean about one woman's dreams? We're going to talk about all that and more on today's episode of Dream Meanings. Our phone number is 1-800-606-7193 to share your dream with us. Of course, you can write in through our website, dreamingradio.com. That's D-R-E-A-M-I-N-G, radio.com. Updated the website recently, and links up there now to every place you can subscribe to our show, or at least some of the major ones. iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, links right there on the front page. You can also even listen to the episodes of our show right there on the website as well at dreamingradio.com. So be sure to submit and check it out at dreamingradio.com. Let's jump into our first dream story today, and comes into us Steph from Stephanie, and she says, I'll make this short as it's a very short but intense dream, and also because my English is not perfect as a French Canadian, so please correct my sentences if needed before recording it. I'll do my best. I'm going to read through it as I get it. The dream starts in a weird dark room, straight from a horror movie or something like that. Wall of black rocks, floor of black dust, dust in the air, almost no light. It's dark and I see almost nothing, but I smell something like fire ashes. Behind me a wall, no door. I don't know why I'm here from where I entered this room. In front of me, I can vaguely see the room going to the left. I step forward and it starts to get hotter in the room. Now, I understand the room is a big L shape. I was in the long part of the L, so I walk until I'm able to turn the corner. As I walk my way, it's getting hotter and hotter in there, and the fire scent is definitely present now. When I turn, I found in front of me a girl in a white dress, long black hairs. She looks at the floor and says nothing. At first, do not realize it, but she said something or had something old in her arms. She says, "It's your fault," still looking at the floor. She now raises her head and looks right in my eyes, and I see what's in her arms, a baby. I do not understand what she means, so I just say, "Here, it's your fault, your fault, your fault, it's all your fault." She now screams, and I realize the baby is not normal. He's burnt to death. I now smell like bacon, and it disgusts me as she starts again to scream that it's my fault, raising the baby in the air and shaking him while she screams. The baby starts to fall apart piece by piece, but she just continues to scream, and she shakes it, saying it's your fault. And she starts to show signs of burning herself until she gets totally on fire. And that's where the dream, or should I say nightmare, ends. The time I had this dream, I was a teenager, maybe 16 or 17. I only started dating girls at age 18. It's not a recent one, but I remember everything from since then. I am 40 now. My dad, my sister, and I have a lot of weird and intense nightmares. I don't know why. Mine are less frequent now, but my father still does have nightmares every night. We have a lot of imagination in our family, I guess. I never knew what this dream wanted to tell me. I do have a lot of dreams and nightmares, all more weird than the previous one. I usually just find them funny, but this one is not funny. It's probably the only one that really scared me. I don't play with fire, I do not have children, and don't plan to have any. This dream is just weird for the lonely teenager I was. I don't expect you to understand it, but still wanted to share it. It's the first time I have shared it. I'm an EPP of your other podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, and wish you the best with Dreaming Radio. As I said, I do dream a lot, so I may send you other stories. Okay, well, I guess I have a couple questions that I would ask about what was going on at the time of this. Obviously, you were younger. I want to ask, how was your temper at that time? How were your relationships with others? You know, a lot of times when we're younger, when we're at that age, we can be kind of blunt, to say the least. Sometimes tempers can get more out of control than they would as we grow and mature, and we can fly to you know, extremes a lot easier. So I'm wondering if there was something like that going on with the fire, because fire can often represent uncontrolled anger, uncontrolled temper, or temperament, or at least a fear of it getting out of control. Babies and things of that nature tend to represent innocence. So I'm wondering if there was something going on in your life at that time where you felt maybe you overstepped your bounds with someone or something that otherwise didn't deserve it. You know, maybe a friend, maybe something of that nature that, you know, was more innocent, that didn't deserve what was heaved upon them in terms of a temper. Again, these are questions you're going to have to answer for yourself, because obviously I can't hear your answers as I'm doling out what some of this may mean. That's kind of where I would go with this. I think it has something to do with feeling as you've overstepped your bounds with someone or something, and feeling some guilt for it. I think that's probably what the bizarre symbolism, creepy symbolism may all mean. And we could probably dive even deeper with some of the other symbolism, but I think overall that's probably the gist of the dream. Thanks for writing in and sharing that with us. Do greatly appreciate that. I know it's difficult to look back sometimes and say, I had this dream. What was going on at that point in my life? It's very difficult to look at very specific windows in time, especially in childhood or high school years, to go, oh yeah, that month it was this person or that person that was annoying me. It's just, it all gets to be kind of a blur. So I don't, certainly do not expect you to know for sure, but that may ring a couple bells. Just something to think about. The phone number here to share your dream with us is 1-800-606-7193. Call it in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Love to hear your dream and may share it on a future episode of the program. Of course, dreamingradio.com is our website. That's where you can call in your dream and share it with us. So write in your dream and share it with us, rather. And we may use it on a future episode of the program. Let's continue right on to our next letter. Comes to us from Emily. Emily says, I've had nightmares my whole life. My first memories are nightmares I had as a kid. I also have had lucid dreams. As you know, I'm dreaming when I start hovering instead of walking. It's like swimming through the air. I want to write about this one set of dreams I had for most of my life. There was this plot of land, several acres in size. On it were various versions of my aunt's house, different sizes, shapes, some inside of others. I'd have a dream in one house and walk outside to the plot of land and see the others. I'd remember each house and the dream I had in it. All the dreams were about hidden rooms and hoarding of animals and stuff. Each house was falling down in its own way. From old age being half-built to full of stuff, one house had monsters outside. They were spaced out like in video games. They allowed me to learn their path and avoid Argo when I walked past them. There was so much more detail to these, and I don't know how to explain it. I often wandered each house, taking care of animals that seemed forgotten, or cleaning things that were just left to rot. There were hidden locations in each. I remember one that had an attic that you had to squeeze yourself through a tiny opening to get to. Often the spaces and houses were bigger inside than outside. Often had never-ending hallways and basements that I'd get lost in. At 35, I got married. I stopped having nightmares altogether. More significantly, the lot of my aunt's house was leveled. All the houses gone. I remember hovering over it and being so very sad because I knew I would never see it or the houses again. I had an abusive childhood. I did not feel safe or loved at home. Getting married was the official. My parents aren't in charge of me legally anymore. We bought a house. I have a safe place for the first time in my life. I believe this is why the lot was leveled, when my husband and I had a huge fight and I felt like things would end. I had a dream about the lot again. I don't think this is a coincidence. So, I don't have many questions here. Just if you agree with my assessment of the dream. I wanted to share it because it's both reoccurring and lucid. I know one is rare. To have both is craziness. I hope this made sense. Feel free to contact me for more information or detail. Well, I got some good news. I think you are very much on track with your thinking about this. Just to give some insight from my side of the microphone, a house oftentimes in a dream is going to have a lot to do with your own psyche. It represents different aspects of your psyche, the different rooms represent different pieces of you. Since a lot of these houses in your dream were kind of in an abandoned state and kind of in a state where that needs some attention of some sort, that oftentimes has to do with things that you've left behind in your past. It basically means you're ready to move forward into the future and leave some of that behind, but you're still kind of exploring and trying to make sense of what happened to you in your life, which does make sense with what you said had happened to you. Another aspect of this, when we're talking about the houses and the types of houses being run down in dreams, it means old beliefs, attitudes, and how you used to think or feel previously. It can also represent something that's going on in your life if suddenly these things reoccur in a dream. So that does make sense. When you had the encounter with your husband, the argument with your husband, that this came back up. That does make total sense, that suddenly the house or the foundation shows back up, or the leveling of it shows up in your dream. So you're very much on path. Just from my own personal way of looking at it and saying it or exploring it, I would think you're very much exploring your past, all the different sides of you, wandering, looking, searching for the next step in your life, the next chapter in your life. I think that's what your psyche was doing in those dreams. And when you found it, when you found the next path, when you found your husband and you found the new direction you were going, they stopped because you had come across that. And like I said, then it does make total sense that it did show back up when there was that rocky situation there. So very much good job interpreting it on your end. You're very, very, I would say, on track with what I would say was going on in that dream. I have dreams like that as well sometimes, where it's almost like a whole city that I'll be exploring, and I will look at a building in this city, and just like you, where you said you looked at a house and you could remember going into that house and the dream you had about that house, I have the exact same thing, and it's weird. I don't have them all that often, and I really should probably pay more attention to what's going on in my life at the time when I have these. But the town that I go to often is this weird variation on a town that I lived in near 18 years ago. In Wisconsin, and it's not an exact replica, but it's like this weird my mind version of it, and it very much has what you described almost, where the interiors were much larger than what the exteriors were, so they doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Very creepy, very almost abandoned looking, or just almost haunted-esque looking. There may be inhabitants to it, but it's never kept up very well. And I'll be just exploring these places, and I'll remember having a previous dream. And sometimes the only way I recall the previous dream, it seems, is in these dreams. I couldn't just consciously say, oh yeah, I had a dream about this place. And then sometimes I'll wake up from those dreams and I'll wonder, well, how long ago did I have that previous dream of this location? Because in my dream, it feels like that was a long time ago. And it may very well have been. It's just so hard to put your finger on a date, on a time of a dream you only remember in another dream. It's such a weird, tricky thing. But it got me thinking of settings and situations that I have in some of my reoccurring dreams. And it's odd because sometimes I wouldn't call it necessarily reoccurring, because it's not always the exact same things that are happening in the dreams. It's more so a reoccurring setting than it is reoccurring actions or events. It's, an important distinction. When we're talking about the settings in some of our dreams. Thank you for writing in and sharing that with us. Again, our phone number here is 1-800-606-7193 to share your dream with us on Dream Meanings website, dreamingradio.com. And by the way, if you become an extra podcast person, now you have access to all of our episodes before they're released publicly. We have the episodes done in advance. I'd say probably about roughly 2 weeks in advance. Sometimes it's a little bit more, sometimes a little bit less. But EPP Extra Podcast people get access to them basically as I do them. I post them up on our Extra Podcast Person website. And I'll have a link up at Dreaming Radio soon. But right now, if you want to get to it, go to ghostpodcast.com, click Become an EPP, and you'll get access to all these episodes before everybody else. You'll also get access to exclusive ghost story episodes from our other podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, and the other show that I do with my wife, Junkin' with Jenny, where we talk about basically reclaiming spaces and objects and items and giving them new life. It's taking antique-type things, things that people or spaces that people don't know what to do with or we didn't know what to do with, and really reinventing them. It's really fun. It's a lot to do with home improvement, but really reclaiming and reusing things. Lots of video involved with that as well. You get that stuff in advance as well. It's only $5 a month to be an Extra Podcast Person. Or we have this new thing where you can sign up for a full year membership, get access to all that stuff, and you can choose a bonus. And that bonus can be a phone session, a one-on-one phone session, where you and me jump on a call, talk about your dream. It's not just a letter. It's not just a voicemail. And we'll talk about your dream. I'll give you some insight one-on-one, ask questions back and forth. And we may even use it on a future episode of the program. So little incentive there to help support this show and help keep us going. You can check that out, like I said, at ghostpodcast.com. Get access to the episodes before everybody else and get a whole bunch of extras for only what breaks down to $5 a month. Sign up for the year, get that bonus phone session and actually 1 month free. So check that out, ghostpodcast.com. Let's go to our next letter. Comes into us from Brandon. And Brandon says, I had one of those uncanny valley dreams. I live in a house in a small town, suburban area, a lot of trees or the branches hovering over the road, a lot of one-way side roads, cars lay next to the sidewalk, etc. In the dream, I was in my neighborhood. I walk out to the entrance of my street to my friend's house, which was usually around 4-ish in the afternoon, as I normally do. The trees and the grass cradling the sidewalk and fences were quite green in contrast to the narrowing two-way road ahead of me. At which point, I realized there was no wind resistance, no bristling of the leaves, just static leaves. There were no cars around, no car sounds, which was particularly unusual for my neighborhood because there were always cars coming back and forth, especially during this time of day. Actually, it was so empty, I was walking in the middle of the road. So anyway, it was very quiet. There was nothing weathering my body. Very green and sunny afternoon. As I walk on ahead, the trees ahead seem to have fallen, almost progressively blocking the road a couple of yards ahead of me. I turn left to my friend's lane, and my eyes catch something stretching and blocking the entrance to my neighborhood. A big block of molding concrete with holes in it was high as the neighboring houses, just sparsely being covered by the happy little trees. The fences surrounding the neighbor still seem to be coupling this thing as it crushed the entire neighborhood, except the nice little concrete town fences. As I approached further, I was kind of expecting something eerie or something extra external to totally happen, though part of me really didn't seem to care because I was aware that I could wake up at any time. I knew I was dreaming. So I felt nothing as I came face to face with this big structure. The whole were actual doorways, and the were next to them, an almost perfect symmetrical pattern, and a little mini stairwell leading up to the next doorway. Every floor was a doorway, no walls, no handles protecting the stairwell, a block of doorways and stairwells leading up, maybe four stories, and oddly enough, now I feel a gentle wind touch my face. It's streaming and whistling from the doorways. This thing had a hollow interior. I see a little blue light as I lightly peer in. I hear a bus from behind me, bus 49, the bus I used to take to college, swoops past me into the sunset. I instinctually went, shit, as if I had just missed that ride. I, being a little bit disheartened for some reason, got up, walked up to the second floor of this thing and lay down next to the stairwell and look out in the sunset and watch Godzilla or a Godzilla-esque thing walk into my hometown. As I sleep, the sound of chaos and destruction and howling winds of the giant structures are still very audible. Then, of course, I wake up. A time of depression and anxiety issues was what I was experiencing when I had this dream. My therapist had suggested I drop out of college to take a mental break for a year. So to take the time to heal and get a better sense of myself. So as you would imagine, I felt really trashy, like a waste of space, my mother not helping, persisting I go back after a month. Some part of me wanted to go back, but then again, I have a lot of anxiety problems, and I was at my wit's end when I went to see my therapist, so I really needed to understand what's going on in my head before I become a walking husk of a man just trying to get by with mediocre grades and a bad haircut. So why was a giant whistling concrete mansion there? Also, why, Godzilla? And why was I so chill with him killing everyone? Well, I'm going to really just kind of jump in here. What you expressed that what was going on in your life was going to be my question. I was going to say what was going on at the time, and my gut was telling me it was going to be something to the effect of what you just said. It sounds like your subconscious trying to play through the choice to not go back to school, to take some time off, and you feeling the anxiety and the guilt of doing that. That bus passing by and you not getting on it is you feeling like the opportunity for college, the opportunity for education, the opportunity for validation educationally and psychological validation and just for your existence, I think was very much being questioned. We put so much pressure and so much weight on education that sometimes we lose sense of what oneself really is and where one needs to be to get that education or just to be successful in whatever you may be doing, whether it's something academically or something outside of that world. And I think that all of that pressure of school, 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 and then you saying, wait, I want to be in the right place, was all clashing in your mind. You felt when those trees were down, when those walls were up, that you had essentially kind of dug yourself into a hole or created a blockade from getting where you need to go. And the fact that that bus just kept on going by, you felt like you were being passed by and that you were really missing out on something to get better yourself. Going up those stairs was you trying to climb out of that place, trying to get to a place where you thought it would be better and where you would feel better mentally and emotionally. And I think that's what was going on in your mind. The pressures from the outside, your mother and all of that, probably not helping the situation at all. And I think the fear was going to, and obviously run through anyone's mind as well. When you're going to school and you stop for a period of time, there's a question of, will you ever go back? Are you going to actually go back? That, I think, was the big question. And, you know, rightfully so, many times people don't. But also many times people find their calling ends up being elsewhere. It's not always through academia. I mean, some of the most successful people I know had really not a great educational history. It was more so self-taught or more so on their own terms, not necessarily must go here, must go there, get the education and be done. A lot of it, you know, can be your own path. And I think it was you going up those stairs, almost trying to figure out what that path is. So about Godzilla and why were you so chill with him killing everyone? I think it doesn't necessarily mean Godzilla by any means. I just think it's just part of the fear, part of the, you know, the destruction of the world around you. And is this the end of the world, essentially? You know, the fear everybody has. If you don't follow the path that you were, you thought you were supposed to be going down, is that going to be, you know, just the end of everything? I think that's really what Godzilla meant in there, and you trying to play those worst case scenarios through your mind, which all of us with anxiety do. It's always worst case scenario, and isn't it fun? It's so fun having anxiety. People who don't have anxiety have no clue what it's like. I'm sure you are aware of that. It's just always so fun. You know, like, why do you worry about this or that? It's like, why is the sky blue? And it's just how, you know, how our brains function. There's ways of getting better at it and dealing with it, though. There really is. So if you're seeing a therapist, obviously try and stick with that if you're feeling that it's helping, because that can certainly help kind of redirect some things and help you make sense and at least, you know, living in a certain state of sanity. I'd say anyone with anxiety, never going to completely go away. And it gets worse and it gets better, I would say, at least for me, from time to time. But it's kind of like waves, and it just depends really what's going on in your life as far as how triggered it will be and how intrusive it will be. But it's always a struggle to try and deal with it. So thank you for writing in and sharing that story with us. I hope that made some sense to you. Our phone number again, 1-800-606-7193 to share your story with us. Let's go to our next letter. Brooke writes in, "Hi, Tony. In my last dream, I was seeing in the point of view of three young brothers who were in their family basement coloring. Their mother did not like them going down there, and they usually got in trouble when they did. They were talking and having a good time when they looked into their laundry room, which was all glass walls, and the rocking chair next to the washer and dryer was rocking on its own. The boys looked at each other before the eldest, around the age of 10, remarked, 'It's just Graham.' Mom said not to talk about it. Well, the youngest boy, around the age of 6, replied, 'Well, I want Graham to know I love her.' I wrote a note in crayon scribbles saying something along the lines of, 'I love you very much, Graham. I love, can't remember the name.' Well, to the oldest and middle boy's displeasure, he slipped it under the door, and the rocking chair stopped. They heard and saw nothing for a minute or two, so went back to coloring and playing until they heard the sounds of paper tearing and the toilet in the small bathroom inside the laundry room flushed. Youngest boy gasped and shouted to their Graham, asking why she would do that, and suddenly they heard a rush at the glass and a wretched woman's voice screaming, 'I'm not your Graham. You should have died before me. Let me out of here. I need to find Abilene. Where is my Abilene? Help me find my Abilene.' This thing was screeching, and you could hear the door to the laundry room rattling. The boys were screaming and running to the upstairs door, and that's the last thing I saw before I faded out of the dream. But the last thing I heard was from the middle child, the fastest, screaming, 'Guys, it won't open. It won't open up.' I was visiting an antique store the day before I had this dream. I was very cautious about a certain doll that was sitting in a rocking chair while I was there in the basement of the old antique furniture store. I began sweating in the basement and becoming very aware of my environment and realized I may be feeling something non-human. I asked the woman at the front desk if she had experienced activity there before, and she told me before the large mansion was an all-antique shop, the basement was actually a mortuary, while the rest of the upstairs had always been a furniture store. It was practical back then because furniture came in large wooden boxes, 6 foot larger sometimes. Turns out they would reuse the boxes as coffins or break them down to build coffins for the dead. Do you believe this dream was a product of my environment? Like maybe my brain pieced together basement, rocking chair, creepy doll spirit, mortuary, and fabricated a story to tie them together? Or do you think there was maybe something a bit more paranormal going on? I'd love to hear your feedback." Well, we're getting closer and closer to Halloween, obviously. Could it have been something paranormal? I do a show about ghosts, and I've heard so many unexplained things. Yes, anything is indeed possible. Without much more to tie it together, though, it could just be your imagination. The fact that you didn't wake up and there wasn't a box in your room, if you bought the doll and it had moved, or something unexplained happening that ties the dream together, it's very hard to say if there was something paranormal going on. Because a lot of times I always say, to really get some sort of confirmation on that, there needs to be some sort of tie into reality. Otherwise, our minds can piece a lot of weird things together and create scenes like this. What stood out to me immediately in your dream was the fact that you were watching it almost like it was on television and that you were not a part of the dream. That's a rare thing to happen. Not many people dream that way. So I'm wondering, do you dream this way with other dreams? Are you ever in the viewpoint of the people in your dreams, or is it always like watching a television show? That, to me, is an interesting part of this. It may be something assigning part of you to one of the characters in there. I'm not sure. You didn't really lean that way with any way that you were telling it, so it's hard for me to know if that's at all what was going on in this dream, or you'd be viewing this from any one of those children's perspectives. But yes, I do think it is possible for us just to piece things together. But what did all this mean? What did all of it have to do with anything? I guess I would ask you, is there any person in your life, any event in your life, where you feel the person that you know is not who they act like they are, where you feel a sense of them being fake? That's where I think the grandmother may come into play, where it may be something where you're watching from the sideline and you're seeing other people see this person as who they want the people to see them as, but you are over here and you know better, and you know that person is not not that wholesome, that nice, that kind individual. Or it could swing the other way. Somebody could think that somebody's really bad and evil when really they're kind and gentle, but they're being perceived the other way. I'm not saying it's bad or good. I'm just thinking this may have something to do with some sort of relationship structure in your life where many people see one person as this, but you know better. And you're seeing it the other way from the outside. I think that might have a lot to do with the outside looking in. And some of the props in the dream may have just been placeholders in your subconscious from the recent trip to the antique store. So that would be my non-paranormal interpretation of that dream. Thanks for writing in. I appreciate that. 1-800-606-7193. Call in your dream 24/7 or write in on our website at dreamingradio.com. And please be sure to press subscribe on whatever platform it is you listen to this program on. That helps us greatly. Roxanne writes into us, first of all, just wanted to say I love your show. I play it every day in my office at work, and the first they tease me about it or laugh, but now I notice that they seem to pop their head in more often while it's on, and I'm sure it's because they enjoy it. They aren't fooling me. My mother was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer in November of 2014, and even though it was discovered at an advanced stage, she responded well to treatments, and we remained hopeful that she would continue to improve. In about a year, though, things went downhill and the cancer became more aggressive. Very rapidly, she began to decline, and by the time my family and I were able to go down, she could barely remember who we were. She had fleeting moments every now and then where she was mom again, for example, suddenly noticing a tattoo on my arm and scolding me for it, but sadly, she was incoherent a lot of the time. My family made the decision to put her in hospice care, and she was given anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 months. I live in North Carolina, and she was in Texas, and while my work had been very generous about giving me time off, I had to leave and go back at some time as my children had missed lots of school as well. I was very much aware that it would be the last time I saw her, and it would be our final goodbye. Or so I thought. One night, about 2 weeks later, I dreamed that she was lying in a hospital bed with all of my six other siblings around her. She was speaking normally and didn't look ill, just as though she were lying in bed, resting with blankets on top of her. I vividly remember her reaching out to me and hugging me with a quick kiss on my cheek and very quick, "Bye, I love you." I even remember how the kiss felt, and I swear I can even recall the sound it made on my cheek. When I awoke, I lay there for a minute, and my husband's cell phone rang. I looked over at my husband, because calls that early never carry good news, and I told him, "She's gone." When he answered, it was indeed my sister-in-law telling us that she had passed. Upon leaving Texas and returning to North Carolina, I was struggling with the guilt of having to leave her. I felt like our last goodbye was so cheated because she didn't really understand that we were leaving to go back to North Carolina. I was extremely anxious, and it had begun to take a toll on my health. Was this her way of saying goodbye to me, knowing that I felt such guilt about leaving Texas? My father had passed away a few years earlier, and my youngest daughter, about 3 at the time, had dreams in which he spoke to her, and I wonder if this is something that other people have experienced. I'm a former youth pastor who's not very religious anymore, and while I'm not sure exactly what I believe about the afterlife now, a part of me does hope that it was a sign she's finally at peace and knows how much she was loved here on earth, and even still, thank you so much for your time. I would say the fact that this ties together, the fact that you got that phone call immediately upon waking up, that this very likely would be what you'd classify as a paranormal event or some sort of ghostly interaction beyond just our subconscious. Now, is it entirely possible that the timing just worked out that way? Sure. One could argue that, but that's really for you to decide what you want to believe and accept. I know from doing the other program, Real Ghost Stories Online, and hearing hundreds of stories very similar to this, of I had this dream of this interaction with my loved one who was not yet deceased at the time I closed my eyes to go to sleep, or so I thought. Having an interaction and hearing sometimes a message that would otherwise be unknown, later verified, or just an interaction, and then immediately the verification of their passing happens upon waking up, that this is not an isolated occurrence or a unique occurrence, honestly, because it happens to a lot of people. Now, of course, like I said, timing, the guilt, all of that, knowing it was going to be happening soon, she's going to be on your mind no matter what. So could the timing have worked out? Well, of course. Was it something more than that? I'd say based on, like I said, everything that I've heard over the years of doing that ghost show, that there is certainly a high probability of that. At least that's what I would like to believe. Thank you for calling in or writing in and sharing that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate that. Dreaming Radio is the website, dreamingradio.com, where you can write in your dream. You can also call in at 1-800-606-7193 to share your dream with us. We'd love to hear it. That wraps up today's episode of Dream Meanings. We greatly appreciate you listening. Be sure to press subscribe on whatever platform you listen to us on. Helps us grow in those ratings. Tell your friends about us. That also helps us quite a bit. Even some reviews. If you like the show, a couple reviews would be greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated. I keep saying greatly appreciated. I'd be very thankful. I'm going to use that one. I'd be very thankful for that if you can take the time to do that. Helps us grow this thing. And turn it into a good show. More letters, more calls, the better show we can do for you here at Dream Meanings. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to another episode of Dream Meanings.